Hi, and welcome to CISPA TLDR, the cybersecurity podcast from the CISPA Helmholtz Center for Information Security. Every month, we bring in our researchers to share insights into the latest challenges in cybersecurity and AI that CISPA is tackling. Don't worry, we keep things simple and steer clear of technical jargon, so you can follow along even without a background in computer science. I'm Tobias Ebelshäuser from CISPA's communications team, and trust me, I don't have a computer science degree either. My guest today is Aurora Naska, a PhD student at CISPA. She came to Saarbrücken from Albania and is now working on security here. Secure messaging, to be exact. Aurora, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Presented, Tobias. Thank you for having me today.
As I've already said, you're working on security. How did you get there? Is there something that particularly fascinated you about the area?
So how did I end up in security? Well, I first started doing business informatics. Mm-hmm. And then along the way, I realized that I'm more interested in the informatics part. So I came to Saarland and then I did my master's in computer science. And I think in one of the summers, I attended some security and privacy summer school. And I think it was here at CISPA already. Mm-hmm. And I think already there, I realized that, yeah, okay, I very much like talking about security and making and breaking things more in particular. And so while I was studying, I decided to basically work on some topic that was about like breaking and fixing systems. Mm-hmm. And somehow that then evolved into applying these methodologies on this way of thinking into secure messaging. And I mean, 4 years later, here we are.
Okay.
So it was not premeditated in a way.
Yeah, okay, very nice. Yeah, sometimes life has its way of getting you to places you wouldn't expect, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's an adventure, so it's pretty fun.
Very nice. So let's get right into it. Secure messaging. What actually is that? What does secure messaging mean? Because when I think about it, back in the day, growing up with the ICQ messengers, Microsoft, MSN, I think, I mean, I used like the normal SMS on my phone,
exactly.
Right? So were these already considered secure messengers? Is that like something that is very recent?
Yeah, it's more on, I think, early 2000s and then more prominent mm-hmm. in the 2010 and so on. So secure messaging has to do with the fact that, or with the high level intent that if you send a message, that message is only to be received by your intended recipient and there is no other third party or mm-hmm. person in the middle that can modify that message or to see what is the content.
Okay.
Yeah, so for the SMS, then that would not be a secure messaging because, for example, your provider can see those messages. Yeah.
Right. So when we're talking about secure messages, I mean, so I will just download an app like WhatsApp?
Yeah, exactly.
So WhatsApp would be considered a secure messenger?
Yes. So WhatsApp, Google Messages, Apple's iMessages, the Signal app, and so on. Most of these apps usually have already deployed secure, like they can be considered mm-hmm. secure messaging, and they have end-to-end encryption. So
okay. So end-to-end encryption basically means not even the provider of the app can read my message. So if I now send a shopping list to you via WhatsApp or Signal or my phone provider wouldn't be able to tell what I sent you.
Yeah, so the content of your message would be confidential, meaning mm-hmm. that no one else can see what is the actual message mm-hmm. that you sent. Mm-hmm. And end-to-end, it means, like the word means, like from one end of the sender to the one end of the receiver, meaning from one device to the other. It is a little bit like, because academics are, you know, talking always about details. What is end-to-end? Is it a user, like human to human, a device to device? But I think in general, usually you try to talk about that there is no other unintended party that mm-hmm. can receive or decrypt that messages. And so it is secure in a sense.
Okay. So I know that we're kind of getting into cryptography here when we talk about end-to-end encryption. I have to admit, I have the tendency to try to navigate around cryptography because it gets very mathy and very complicated pretty fast. But do you think you could like tell us in a few sentences how this end-to-end encryption works? So it basically, how can my message get to your phone without anyone being able to read it?
So how end-to-end encryption would work is that for me to send a message to you, I would first need to have your number or some identifier, and then a link to that identifier that you have. Usually there is some cryptographic material, let's say some secret key that you store somewhere in the server that is like a public identifier.
Okay.
And using fancy crypto stuff, it is possible for me now to have my identifier and your identifier and to use them in a way to derive some unique key that I can then use, or the like unique secret that I can use to encrypt messages. And so basically you and I, the two ends of this communication, are the only ones that can decrypt the messages that are being sent. But like the problem or with this type of communication is that if you have a single static key, then in this in a world where malwares exist or something bad can happen, then you would have this scenario where if you use the same key to encrypt every single messages, it means that one time compromise then means a lifetime of lost security.
Okay, so I get a malware now, and all of the messages I have written in the last 2 years to like that person, and so the attacker will be able to read them, and all of the messages I will send afterwards, they will also be able to read them.
Yeah, correct. Right? So in the simple world where we just described, so we are dependent only like on a single secret, that would be the case.
Okay.
And we don't want that, especially like in secure messaging, we exchange so much information with one another that this is like a very strong attacker, right? Like that you depend on this single point of failure. And to tackle that, researchers and the industry try to have more like stronger security guarantees in secure messaging. And in particular, there are two more prominent properties, which are called forward secrecy and post-compromise security.
Okay.
And essentially, these are the two sides of the attacks you described earlier. So if there is a compromise and you want previous messages exchanged to be secure, that's forward secrecy.
Okay.
And if there is a compromise and you want future messages to be secure, even after the compromise, that is called post-compromise security.
Okay.
And there are several mechanisms then on how to enable this.
So, but does that mean, so you described that a bad way to do it would be actually to have one static key.
Yeah.
So the idea then is to exchange the key every time I send the message, or how does it work?
Yeah, in a way you would need to have some rotating mechanism or some way to update the keys in order that having a key, you cannot derive a previous key, or having a key, you cannot predict the next key.
Okay, which sounds already like it makes communication way more difficult, right?
Yeah, so there are like several more keys and state having to be stored in order to enable these properties. So in our current messaging apps, there is a large state being stored at the moment in order to enable these properties, or at least in theory to enable these properties.
Okay, that sounds like you're hinting at something already. We will get back to that in a second. The apps that we commonly use, like WhatsApp, like Signal, like Telegram, do they all like fulfill the criteria of secure messaging, as we said, with the forward secrecy and the post-compromise security?
So all of these apps can be considered secure messaging apps because they provide authentication, confidentiality, and privacy of your messages. And then, of course, they also have the appropriate mechanism to also enable forward secrecy and post-compromise security. So all of the apps that you mentioned, they are under the category of secure messaging.
Okay. So all of that already sounds very complicated if I am writing a message to you, but what about group chats? That sounds like it's going to be a whole other headache, right? If you have like, I don't know, we can have groups with 10, we can have groups with 100. Are group chats also employing all the same security mechanisms?
Okay, so for group messaging, it depends on each one of the apps deploys different strategy on how to tackle them. So usually by now you would have this, let's say, an additional mechanism kicking in the moment that you have a group larger than three or four participants. And then you would have some other way of handling it where you would have still end-to-end encryption and some and you would have confidentiality, but probably have weaker guarantees on the stronger properties like post-compromise security, for example. To give you an idea on how this works, I think in the Signal app, independent of how many participants are in the group, essentially you would just deploy end-to-end communication with every one of them. So you would treat a group chat as having, at the same time, sending the same messages to multiple different people.
So like if you have 100 people in there, you would say like 99 single messages.
Yeah, you would encrypt that message 99 times, for example, which is inefficient, but it preserves a little bit more of security. And then different ways to do it is then deriving some group key and whatnot, but which is how WhatsApp does it. But so to tackle the problem of group messaging, the Internet Task Force, which is a standards organization, is also developing a new standard for secure messaging, which is called MLS. And it's
called messaging layer security.
And it's, I think some of the apps already have started to deploy a version of it, so this will be a way to then tackle the group messaging.
So with all this work being done on different protocols for security, every app developer implementing different strategies, is there even a way for me, is there a messenger I could use that is still not employing secure messaging nowadays?
Well, if you use a messaging app, usually you would default into using secure messaging or end-to-end encryption. But a side case to that is, for example, where you exchange messages cross platforms. For example, if I'm an Android user and you are an iOS user, if I send a message from, let's say, one of my, let's say, Google iMessages, then you would not be able to receive it into a secure, in a secure end-to-end encrypted way. And instead, because these apps talked into different protocols, it means that then in the way for them to communicate with one another, at the moment, the state of the art is that they default to an updated version of SMS.
Okay.
So that would be a scenario where, independent of you using a secure messaging app, you would then go back to sending unencrypted messages or messages that can be decrypted by the service provider.
Okay, so if you want to make sure that your message cannot be read by anyone, just use
the same app. You need to use the same app. So from WhatsApp to WhatsApp, Signal to Signal, and iMessage to iMessage.
Yeah, okay. That sounds interesting. Yeah. All right. So what could an attack on secure messaging look like? Because you already hinted at that there might be some things that aren't really that as secure as developers might make it out to be. So what kind of attacks do you assume in your research?
So in our research, we try to tackle the problem of what kind of security do you have when, let's say, some of your secret materials or all of them are known by an attacker. So, for example, assume that there is some malware in your in your device, in your phone, and for a short period of time, it learns some of your secrets or it can use them in order to impersonate you.
And but so, secrets being like the secret key that is used for the encryption.
The cryptographic key in a way. Okay. So the question then is, let's assume that in the next update of your operating system, this malware is removed. What happens now with the secure messaging? So are you still secure? Can the attacker still somehow retain their access to your information? Can they decrypt future messages? Or even worse, can they impersonate you? Where impersonation in this context means that someone can pretend to be you to everybody else in the world just because of that short period of time where they either had access to some information or they learned some of your data.
So they could basically identify as my phone number and write messages for phishing or for other...
Yes, and also in parallel, then it would be... And you can think of this like, oh, why would someone be interested in me but or like personally attack me? But keep in mind that there is a lot of social engineering as well. So if, I don't know, you send a message to your mom, I'm in a bit of a trouble, can you help me out with this and that?
Sure.
Then you can imagine where this is going.
Definitely. And which would add more credibility if it's actually coming
from an account. And in our research, then we try to see whether, like, what is the range of these attacks. And in some of our more recent research, we have seen that, like, this one-time compromise then evolves into you being impersonated for the rest of the lifetime of that the time that you use that app or of the conversation. And it is pretty funny. Like, we also did some experiments in like using the real apps, mm-hmm. using phone numbers and whatnot. And we saw that you could have in the same time a parallel conversation between, let's say, you and your mom, and then okay. also like a fake you and and your mom. And that was... And so what we saw here is that there would be a parallel conversation, let's say, between you and another person yeah. and an attacker being pretending to be you and that same person. And nobody would notice that there was like these two parallel conversations happening at the same time.
So for the person on the other side, it would just look like both messages would be coming from me, and I wouldn't be, if they weren't like trying to reply to that specific message, I would be none the wiser.
Yeah, so from the recipient's point of view, they would just see a continuous stream of messages. Mm-hmm. And from your side, you would only see the messages that you sent okay. and the messages that you received in a way right. during the time where you were online. And from the attacker's point of view, anytime that they decided to impersonate you, mm-hmm. they would simply turn on the internet in the messaging app and send something to the recipient and receive back all of the messages that okay. like and continue the conversation in a way. So the difference in the view of the user interfaces here is that the recipient would have a continuous stream of yeah. conversation, but then the two, let's say, versions of you yeah. would have small pieces of it. Yeah.
Okay, they would only have their own version of it, basically.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
All right. So that basically means that this promise of post-compromised security and secure messaging doesn't really hold up.
Yeah, it doesn't hold. So we already saw this a little bit, I think, a few years ago in another paper where we were trying to see, okay, there is a lot of research being done on mm-hmm. this post-compromised security property, and most of it is usually done on a version of these protocols, but on paper. So mm-hmm. assuming like two parties and that they have like this continuous conversation where nothing bad ever happens. And so what I was interested more is on this like more practical side to see, well, what does the end user, the human in the yeah. end get? Yeah. So once this protocol is deployed and you use the app, do you actually get this property?
Yeah.
And we started with doing experiments and we already saw that, wait, that's not what really happens. And it seems like, as usual, the culprit for this to be usability.
Yeah.
So because like there are so many bad things that can happen, like errors that can happen in a real application,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you need to make room for them. Mm-hmm. And since you make room for this like errorous behavior, then it means that you leave this small space now mm-hmm. where like you enable also an attacker to misuse it in a way okay. to impersonate you. And as always, now it becomes a trade-off between usability and security.
Oh, okay, so basically that means the app has to have like some leeway. If I'm getting like an error message, like this message couldn't be loaded, or just some kind of error message, that I would be just, okay, something went wrong.
Yeah, and then at that point when something went wrong, there is this choice to be made by the app, right? Like, does it allow now for this message to be resent?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it lost forever?
Yeah.
But as an end user, you probably don't want to have messages because there can also be very important messages.
Yeah, sure.
So you want to receive everything. And then the complementary to this, a broader version of this question, whether can I receive this message or no, is that once there is an error, like am I allowed to continue mm-hmm. talking to mm-hmm. the other person now, or do I need to, so everything is lost,
yeah.
do I need to throw the phone or reinstall the app again? Because I mean, like it looks like a small question to answer,
yeah.
like can I receive this message, but the way to solve it propagates into, okay, what do I do now when there is an error? Do I stop the conversation yeah. or do I continue it?
So like in a security perfect world,
you drop the phone.
You burn it and you move out of country.
Yeah, something like that. No. And but since that is not like, we are also talking that all of these apps are also like businesses. So that is not, nobody's going to buy that product, right?
Yeah.
Or nobody's going to use that
yeah.
product.
Yeah.
And so they allow now that, if there is an error, a desynchronization, mm-hmm. something bad happening, you are allowed somehow to continue the
okay.
conversation. And to circle back to the what happens now when an attacker compromises you, this means that impersonating this problem of, I want to talk to you, but something error, like some problem happened with my state.
Yeah.
It means now that also the attacker or the compromised version of you can just pretend to be you by having gone through a problem and then resync again and participate in the conversation.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But is that something that is fixable, or is it just sort of in the properties of having this secure messaging across, I don't know, it could be across, basic, it could really literally be across like two oceans while I'm talking to someone in New Zealand or something. They would just be in the nature of, okay, this information has to be somewhat out there.
Yeah, so this problem of, so if an error happens, what to do next, it's a fundamental problem. Mm. So if you want to allow some, if you want to allow the conversation to continue, it means that you have to lose on the version of post-compromise security that you're achieving. And in our latest work, this is what we showed, that this is a fundamentally an achievable problem, like an impossibility results, where you cannot have the the strongest security guarantee for the end user and at the same time maintain usability. So those two do not go hand in hand. So you need to do a trade-off and then do the next best thing in a way.
Okay, but how afraid do I have to be of like something bad happening to my messaging app? I mean, I wouldn't consider myself to be of a lot of public interest, but I mean, how, like the average user, is there something that you should be afraid of and like only use?
No, I mean, this is the state of the world where we're in. So there is still research ongoing on how to make this safer. Mm. Or in case that there is some compromise, maybe there could be like some flagging or some notification to the user that at least there is some suspicious activity happening. Mm-hmm. And so there is ongoing research on how to make it secure. But whatever we have right now, it's probably the securest that we can be at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that go back to using smoke signals. but it is good to know where the limits are, so that then like in future steps we can see how to maybe push them or how to tackle this problem from another point of view.
And it's also probably, as you've said, it's probably something to think about in terms of usability and how to actually tell people what is going on. Because, I mean, in basically every aspect of security, we talk about this fatigue that sets in when you get an error message. Yep. You're like, okay, now go away. You don't even know what it means because you just press okay because you want to continue with your I don't know, whatever you're doing, right?
Yeah, so you are absolutely correct. And what we are trying to tackle next is to make most of these mechanisms under the hood. Mm-hmm. So without the need of the end user to provide any type of feedback or trying to have to actively do something about it, because it does become quite cumbersome for also the user to interact with all of these error messages. And one way to do this is to have this, let's call it sound detection mechanisms, which means that if there is an error, you can be certain that if you flag that there is an error, there for sure is something wrong happening in the app. And this can trigger automatically something under the hood to make the user secure again. But that is another area of research. Yeah. Like once you know that there is something wrong happening, what to do then? How to recover security? And then probably in the usability field, you need to know, like, to what extent do you inform the user, because of course you need to inform them, but to what would be the best way to let the user know that something is going wrong or went wrong at some point in time.
Okay, so what would you say, are there like any, now that we've talked about like error fatigue, or are there like any red flags that the common user should be aware of? Is there something that when I open WhatsApp or Signal or whatever and I see, what error message would you consider to be, there is something wrong there?
The problem with these attack vectors that we look at is that they can hide themselves very well as common error messages.
Okay.
So from a user or end user perspective, you cannot distinguish between an actual error happening in the app and something being triggered because there was a malicious activity against you. Mm-hmm. So from an end user, I would not expect at the moment for them to notice anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think some of the apps have these error messages or information messages that, your security keys with X and Y have changed. And maybe if you see that very often, it might be a point to maybe ask whoever you're talking to that, are you reinstalling the app every, I don't know, 1 hour or so? Yeah. But that would be a very obvious way to attack. And otherwise, all of the other error messages could just as well be just normal error messages. Okay. So not really something for the end user to do at the moment.
But with all that you've learned in your course of research, you already said we shouldn't go back to smoke signals. We should like consider it to be as safe as we can be right now. Do you consider it safe in a way that you don't mind sharing things, or are there things when you, I don't know, when you have to give some banking details to someone, is there like something as you think, oh, okay, no, let's do that via another channel or when we meet in person, or do you consider it as secure as it can get?
Yeah, well, good question. So I also personally I use the Signal app, but I do use it for all of my day to day, like talking to friends and family. Bank details, probably a bad idea to exchange them over anything. but as I said, for day to day communication, exchanging recipes, it is what it is. There is no better option. And then you. I think with every services that you use, you always end up having a little bit of trust in some infrastructure, or trust that something didn't go wrong, or trust in Google to handle your data, metadata correctly, or Meta and so on. So there is not a very good answer to that. For the bank details, definitely not. So you do not exchange super sensitive, high sensitive information. Yeah, yeah. But for the rest, this is the best we have at the moment. So we... like, except abolishing using them, we have to use whatever we have.
All right, all right. So there is a lot of work being done. There's a lot of work being done here at CISPA by you and your colleagues. So what do you think? How will secure messaging develop? Will it, like, one day be completely secure? Or will the only completely secure of a form of communication be whispering into someone's ear and making sure there will be no one around to hear?
No, I do feel that there is quite a lot of research being done around it, and quite a lot of effort also with key transparency and trying to make these apps also communicate with one another securely, so also across different apps. So I do see that there is quite a lot of effort being done by both the academia community and the industry to go towards a more secure but I do feel that there is like this important part where we should not only be speaking about like properties on paper of what these protocols can achieve, but also when you put it in the context of a particular architecture of a messaging application, which is what is deployed in the end, can that guarantee be achieved there? And I find that to be a very interesting research question and in general something to solve. So I want to say I'm optimistic about trying to find a solution in that space in the future.
So as so often in this podcast, the answer is don't just make assumptions. Don't forget about the human user in the end.
Yeah, exactly. In the end, you really want this to be achievable properties and not just fun to solve on paper in a way.
All right. All right. Let's maybe just end this topic on a, I think, rather philosophical question. Secure messaging. Do you think that is something that our society needs? Because every time there's like a high profile crime happening or a terrorist attack, there's a lot of talk by security agencies on how end-to-end encryption might have hindered their work, and they couldn't like intercept messages and everything. What do you think about that? Do you think that there should be allowed backdoors into secure messaging apps, or does it just open a box of Pandora that you can't close anymore?
Yeah, I think from time to time there is always these agencies trying to have backdoors or client side scanning on messaging applications, and there is always a topic, like a very sensitive topic, that they also rightfully address. Like I think the child sexual abuse or for criminal activities, which are all like fairly topics to tackle, but it also doesn't seem that the way to tackle them is by weakening secure systems. And so in that sense, I join the opinion of the academic community that it is not the way to go to weaken a system, because essentially there is nothing good to be gained out of it. If you deploy something, the technology probably is also going to have its own vulnerabilities, and then it can be misused by other malicious party to then essentially serve as spyware to entire communities or the entire population of a country or a targeted country. And so I don't see that to be the way to go.
All right. All right. Thank you very much for these insights into your work and into secure messaging. But I cannot let you go yet because I still have to ask you some quick questions that we ask every guest that joins our podcast here.
Okay.
So question one, do you use ChatGPT or other large language models? And if so, for what? For example, for preparing for a podcast? Or
no, at the moment I don't, mostly because my work is like very specific technical mm-hmm. field. And usually these large language models are not trained in a lot of data in this okay. particular very specific part of research. But maybe to help me write or format an email, mm-hmm. definitely.
So next philosophical question. Do you feel the rapid advancement of AI does offer more chances or more risks to society? It's a very big one. So
yeah, a very wide question. So AI, because I don't use it so much in my work, I don't feel that I'm like an expert into giving yeah. like such a like deep insight, philosophical insight about the future. And I have a feeling that if I say something like silly and super philosophical, my colleagues are probably going to make fun of me or something.
Yeah, that's fair. We don't really want to expose you to that here. So.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. You've talked about malware that infects phones. So what I would be interested in, have you ever worked like in the darknet or used it for your work? Because that's where I would imagine this malware is to be found, or is it just a more theoretical?
Yeah, I approach? Think from our side is more if there is a malware or something bad happening, how do we recover from it? And mm-hmm. not really to the extent of finding the malwares okay. and how to remove them.
All right, so it's more like of a common known attacks and
yeah, exactly, yeah. and more like how what are strategies that we can deploy on to recover from them?
Okay, all right. So, what research problem, if there is one, would you like to be to see solved during your time as a researcher? Probably the one with post-compromised security, right?
No, or something along that line. So I think from my side, I find detection of errors or mm-hmm. of compromise to be an interesting topic. I've been working on it from quite some years now, and I don't have a very good answer to it yet.
Yeah.
So I think something that I would find very interesting is to have across different architectures, so distributed systems, and like in a world where a human user has multiple devices and talks to also multiple other devices mm-hmm. of other people, I would like to see that if there is one, like at some point, one of these devices or them being compromised, that there is some sound way in which they can know that, wait, someone is doing something yeah. with my account.
Okay. Something that you already described is not working well today.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. So last question, is there something like an IT security hack that you want to impart on our listeners and onto me?
Well, not a hack, but maybe more of an advice would then be to verify the identities of the people that you're talking to.
Okay.
I think WhatsApp already has deployed the technology to scan each other QR codes okay. between different okay. users. And I think most of the also other apps have this way of out-of-band verification to, mm-hmm. to verify the authenticity of the accounts that you're talking to. Like, it's not really a hack, but like just a small okay. reminder, maybe.
Which I think is a nice throwback, because I think the very first episode of CISPA TLDR, we yeah. talked to Matthias Fassel about authentication ceremonies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if you speak German, go back and listen to episode one.
Yeah. Shout out to Matthias.
Okay, Aurora, thank you very much for joining me here. I think I've learned a lot about secure messaging today, and even if everything is not as secure as it might be in the future, I don't think I'm very afraid of using messaging today. So
yeah,
thank you for enlightening us a little, and please keep on doing your work to make it more secure in the future.
Yeah, thank you for having me today. It was quite a lot of fun to participate in this.
Thank you very much. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Ciao.